Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
We're coming around the Word of God this morning. Wonderful. Right, now this is a great month. We're building up for Easter, and we've been looking, doing studies on the Jesus the King. What kind of King is this? Last week we were looking at Jesus the Eternal King. Thanks very much, you're good. Can we give the musos a big hand because they're awesome? The Eternal King last week. This week we're looking at the Servant King. And we're going to come around John chapter 13, and we're going to be learning from Jesus as the great servant, taking an example and applying it to our own personal worlds out of the Word of God. So why don't we just turn to John chapter 13. As you're just turning there, just wait in prayer right now. Father, I just want to pray for each and every person. Lord, speak to them, open their eyes that they might see wonderful things from your Word this morning. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So here we go, John chapter 13, the Servant King. This is actually one of my favourite passages in the entire Bible. In fact, they came into my office on Tuesday and I was sitting on my seat in my office and it swivels around. Someone comes into my office, I swivel around and face the door. It's Katie Haldane. Mark, we've got a couple of people sick. Are you able to preach this weekend? So this is Tuesday. I thought, okay. I said, let me just pray about it. Thank you, Father. Should I preach? Should I preach here? Yes. That was it. So here we are. We're ready to go right now. We're ready to go right now. I think Alex Farncombe preached recently and it was absolutely fantastic. How many people enjoyed Alex when he was preaching? He was great. I think did you take 2 months to get that message together? Someone told me Alex took 2 months to get that message together. You've only got a couple of days. I said, no, I've been getting this message together for the last 40 years. Come on. So here we go. It's awesome. It's awesome. And here it comes. It was just before, this is John chapter 13, verse 1. Please follow it through. You've got a Bible on you. Follow it through on your phone, your device, or just look at it on the screen. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Right now, Jesus understands that he's got 24 hours to live. Up to this point, there's been various times at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee, when his mother turned to him and said, they've run out of wine, he said, my hour has not come. In John 7:30, they tried to arrest Jesus, but his hour had not come. In 8:20, he's in the temple. No one seized him because his hour had not come. And just prior to this passage, Jesus said this in John 12, 23 to 24, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Mark 14, 41, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. The hour has come. Well, I wonder what you'd do if you were told you only had 24 hours to live. What would you do? How would you spend the most valuable asset that you have is time? What would you do with that 24 hours? It's getting a bit deep. We need a joke. Here it comes. The Balmain Tigers, there's the joke right there. Sorry about that, Dave. All right, now here's the joke. Okay, so the doctor rings up one of his patients. He says, you need to come to the office immediately. Now, don't delay. So the guy gets in his car, drives over, rushes into the doctor's office. And he says, doctor, why do you want to see me? He said, look, the doctor says, I've got bad news and I've got really bad news. He says, well, what's the bad news? He said, you got 24 hours to live. He said, what's the really bad news? He said, I should have told you yesterday. There you go. What would you do if you had 24 hours to live? Well, as we continue on in this verse, it says, verse 1, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Loving people, serving people. Listen, I've officiated at a bunch of funerals. Recently, I was going to one, and one of the kids of the deceased was so upset because they had things to tell their parents that they hadn't told them. Friends, this morning, don't leave anything left unsaid. Don't leave anything left undone. If I had 24 hours to live, I'd want my family to come so I could tell them for the last time that I love them. Tell them you love them. And Jesus didn't just tell. Now there's a time. Now Jesus is about to go and speak and teach the disciples for the last time. He's about to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane so intently that blood will appear on his forehead. And it's great to pray and it's great to tell people about the Word of God. But it's great to tell people you love them. Jesus didn't just tell them he loved them. He showed them he loved them. He was about to do something that lives on through time and will live on into eternity. The evening meal was in progress, verse 2. And the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sure Jesus felt a great sense of betrayal and disappointment at this time. One of his 12 closest confidants is going to sell him down the river for 30 pieces of silver. Let me just say this. People will let you down. Church is going to let you down. But Jesus did not throw the proverbial toys out of the cot. He did not stick out his bottom lip, pick up his bat and ball, and go home because things didn't go his way. The Bible says, he loved them till the end. Jesus does not give up on you. Do not give up on other people. Love them and forgive them and serve them. Verse 3, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, that he had come from God and was returning to God. Now, here's a great thing about Jesus. Jesus is secure in his identity. Can everybody please say secure? Say it again, secure. Be secure in who you are in God. He knew he had come from God. In fact, he knew. He said, I was in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. And he knows, I'm going to God. After I die, after I'm buried, after I'm resurrected, I'm going to ascend into heaven and I'm going to be enthroned at the right hand of God with all authority. And then it says that God had placed all power under him. And Jesus was sitting there going, you know what? I've come from God. I'm going to God. In fact, I am God. He was secure. Where does the source of our security come from? Well, Jesus, classic case, he's getting water baptized. When's our water baptism services coming up? 3 weeks. So if you haven't been water baptized, get water baptized. Jesus got baptized. And as he's, but unfortunately, your baptism won't be quite as spectacular as the baptism of Jesus, because as he's getting water baptized, the heavens are opened. A dove appears, it's the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. It descends and lights upon Jesus, and the voice of Almighty God says, "This is my Son, whom I love." You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Jesus goes into the wilderness 40 days, 40 nights, tempted by Satan. Satan questions and challenges his identity. In fact, I did a Bible study. The first conversation that almost every single person had with Jesus was questioning his identity. We need to be like him and be secure. And Satan says to him, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." Now, it's interesting what Jesus said, but it's also interesting in what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say, 40 days ago, I had a subjective experience where I saw the heavens opened and I got this word came to me from God and I saw the Holy Spirit. He didn't say that, although it was true. You know what he said? It is written. It's written, man shall not live by bread alone. He's quoting Deuteronomy, which continues on and says, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hey, guys, you might have a subjective experience. You might feel good. Pastor Alex might give you a word. Awesome, but you can't base your life on subjective experience and on your emotions. There's only one thing that we can base our lives on. Our security and our identity comes from the Word of God. Come on, let's thank God. Let's thank Him this morning because He's awesome and He's given us His Word. Okay, so Jesus is secure in who he is. And out of that security, he serves. John 13 and verse 4. So he got up from the meal. Got up, by the way, I'm sure he was at the head of the table, at the most prominent place in the feast, more of that later, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet. Guys, this job was the job of the lowest servant in the house. When people came and there weren't any sealed roads back then. People didn't have nice enclosed shoes. They walked dusty roads with open sandals, similar to the Crocs that people wear today. Now, I'm gonna expose folly amongst the people of God. Who's got some Crocs on right now? Come on, this kid here. Oh, mate, somebody else? There they go. I see that foot. That's the best response to an altar call I've ever had. I see that foot. One time I was preaching, there was a dog up the back, and the owner said, well, the Bible says that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. And I was preaching, I said, I see that paw. Amen. These people had open sandals, and so when they arrived for dinner or were visiting, the lowest servant in the house would get down and would begin to wash that person's feet. Now, how many people like a good pedicure? Anyone? Or is it just, You know, I was in Bali recently, my wife and I, Kerry and I, we went and got a pedicure. And those poor girls did not know what had hit them when I arrived. Because I think there's, our feet have to be one of the most less appealing parts of our anatomy, would you agree? I mean, I'm sure the youth over here, you've got fabulous feet, there's one, but the rest of us, mere mortals, my feet are shocking, my nails are all over the place, and there's all this stuff in between my toe, oh, whatever, no, better not. But here's the servant. Can you get, and you know, the servant, Jesus gets down and he washes 12 dirty, smelly pairs of feet. Peter's feet. It's got a few fish scales in there because he's, you know. And, you know, James and John, and he gets around and there's Judas and he washes his feet. In fact, when Judas came to betray him in the garden, he said, friend, do what you've come to do. He still called him. He was still reaching out to the man who betrayed him, still offering reconciliation, mercy, and forgiveness. Jesus the servant. Jesus the servant king washes the feet of the disciple. And in so doing, sets an incredible example. If you look down in verse 14, he said this, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. Jesus set us all an incredible example of how we should serve one another. And that's how it works on the horizontal. We need to be serving one another. But he set us an incredible example too on the vertical. Because you see, God is well acquainted with the less appealing areas of your personal world. He's omniscient. He knows everything about you. And God is a God who wants to get up close and personal with you. The Bible says this, Psalm 139:1, Lord, you have searched me and you know me. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're filled with flaws. We make mistakes. We do the wrong thing. But in spite of that, God still loves us and wants communion and fellowship with us. Anybody see that movie, The House of Gucci? With Lady Gaga, a few people, Adam Driver, Jared Leto, and Al Pacino. Al Pacino plays one of the Gucci patriarchs. It's back, I think, in the 1960s in Italy. And his son, he realizes his idiot was his son, who's portrayed by Jared Leto, he says, realizes his son's just sold all the family shares to the Gucci empire, sold them. And Al Pacino's this great actor. Al Pacino goes, he goes, let me see if I can do it. He says, I'm done. Jared says, I'm dead. Come here. And he grabs his son. And he said, come here. And he hugs him and he says, you're an idiot. But you're my idiot. Can we give Jesus a hand for good script writers? Good script writers, Hollywood script writers. They're awesome. It's like, and God's like that with us. What have you just done? And when you blow it, God knows. God, but God still wants to grab you and embrace you and hug you and kiss you and then get down on his knees and clean the garbage out of your life so you can be pure and holy before him. There's a great thing, and I love reading the Old Testament. Exodus, there's the tabernacle in the wilderness. You know, who saw Raiders of the Lost Ark? You seen that movie, The Ark, The Works? Anyway, and there's this big, the tabernacle was built, there's a big fence around it, made of cloth. There's one door. Jesus said, I am the door. Okay, so the door opens, the only one way in, you go in, and then there's a big altar with all the animals being sacrificed. And the first thing we see when we come in, we see the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, and it's not a pretty sight. We see the suffering king, which I'm sure we'll get as we head into Easter. But after you've been to the altar, you go past the altar, and there's this bronze tub, like this massive big, they call it the bronze laver. And Jesus is washing his disciples' feet. And Simon Peter in verse 8 says this, "No," said Peter, "you will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean and you are clean." You know what? When you and I met Christ, when we saw him on the altar, when we saw him dying and received him as Lord and Savior, we were cleansed. We were washed. In fact, the Bible says we are washed with the washing of the word. We're set free completely. But on our journey, as we walk past the altar, and we're heading towards the tent of meeting where the presence of God is, there's the bronze laver. And you know how it was made? All the women from Israel came and they put their bronze mirrors in and they melted them down and they made this big bronze bowl with like the saucer on the bottom and they filled it with water. So the priests on the way, they stop and they look into the water. And when you look into the water, who do you see? You see yourself. And you look, and sometimes, guys, we need a moment of reflection. And we need to see, you know what? I've been cleansed, but on the journey, we pick a bit of dirt up. We hear something. We see something. We say something. We think something. We're affected by something. And our hands and feet get a bit dirty on the journey. And we need to pause, look, and reflect on who we are, wash our hands and feet, and then move on into the tabernacle to worship Almighty God. There's people here today, and you've been on the journey, and you've been cleansed, and it's awesome, but you've picked up a bit of dirt on the way. And we need to pray, hey, Jesus, wash my feet. God, help me. Cleanse me from those thoughts. Cleanse me from those actions. Cleanse me from those attitudes. Cleanse me from unforgiveness. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we need to be washed. So today, as we look at Jesus and we look at his humility, Jesus is humble. Now, actually, this is one of my great strengths. So I feel qualified. In fact, at church, I'm going to get a little medal made to give to the staff members on a monthly basis, the Mark Saundercock Humility Award. But you're not allowed to wear it, though, because you're too humble. In fact, I'm humble, 90% hum and 10% bull. Or is it the other way round? But Jesus, the servant king. And let me close with a famous passage from the book of Philippians. It says this, Philippians 2:5, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in human appearance, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." And then, of course, there's seven steps to humility, and then there's seven great steps to exaltation. But guys, let's take this example of Christ. Let's humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due time He will exalt us. Let's serve Him. And with the remaining time we have before our hour comes, let's serve others the way Jesus has served us, because He is the servant King. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer this morning, right now. We're in the presence of God right now. Jesus is here right now. So maybe there's people here and you've never met Christ as your personal Lord and Saviour, and you're saying, you know what? This morning, I need God in my world. If you've never met Christ, or you've been away from God and you're just on your way back in, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in a moment. Why don't you do that and simply receive Him as your Lord and Saviour. Allow yourself to be washed with the wonderful sacrifice of Christ. Well, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If that's you, could you please raise your hand and give me a wave? If you've never met Christ, you want to receive Him today, or you've been away from God, you're saying, I need to get right with God. Why don't you raise your hand, give me a wave right now in Jesus' name. God, help us to know You this morning in Jesus' name. And while you're thinking about that, I want you to think about the years that you have left in your life. And I want you to make a commitment to God. God, help me to invest that time into serving God and into serving people in the one, serving people in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Can we just stand in God's presence this morning? I just want to pray for you. Why don't we just lift our hands towards God, if you feel comfortable doing that. Let me just pray for you right now. We're thinking about the servant King. We're made in the image of God. Let's commit ourselves to serving Him and serving one another. Look to God right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every single person who's online today. I pray for every person who's in church today, right now. God, help us to serve others. Help us, like Jesus, to forgive others. Help us to wash the feet of other people, to serve them in practical ways, Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus. May we leave nothing left unsaid. May we love people to the day we die and go to be with You. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you today.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.